Well, we're living here in Brettfeeds Town. Without him, Patrick is not around. Out at Arrowhead, they're winning games, throwing touchdowns, holding parades. And Travis is catching the ball, dropping dimes to Tyreek and Moore.
Soon. You know,
and our sacks
we were talking
are
about it
from
off
Chris
the
Jones.
Microphones. Ties making plays. Eric Bieniemy's photo they showed on the TV looked like it was from like 2017.
Yeah.
And then they panned it over to the live shot of Eric Bieniemy. Not the same person.
I am going to guess he has birds living in that beard. I swear to God.
And they're accountable.
They are.
I don't know if you saw this. Pretty hilarious. I retweeted it. Guy Fantasy Football Punishment.
Which one?
So after losing his league, he had to dress up as the Very Hungry Caterpillar and eat every food the caterpillar eats in the book. And his wife woke him up early in full costume working through the entire challenge. He's dressed up as the caterpillar. He's got like watermelon, salad, cabbage, oranges, all this stuff. Good.
I still have not saladed. I passed on a salad on Saturday and everybody looked at me like I had 10 heads. I'm done with the salad. I don't know, man. Can I go back to salad or not?
We played poker in the garage on Saturday at my house, and we were talking about that. I was like, is anybody here saladed? And a couple of guys were like, yeah, I mean, I'm fine. Yeah. Like, no big issue. And then like three other guys like, absolutely not. And then one of my buddies like, yeah, I'll wait for the first freeze.
Yeah.
I was like, that makes sense.
Oh, that's a good one right there, the first freeze. Yeah. I didn't even think about that.
Oh, my gosh.
That.
It's so long.
I know.
I mean, we think.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
we're 4 weeks away from the NFL starting. And we're going to blink. We're going to be like, oh, yeah, here we go.
Yep, here
Let's
it is.
Do this.
When is the first freeze scheduled? I guess now it's probably later, probably early November, right? Usually is kind of when
sense.
We get our first freeze. Used to be October, you know, mid-October, you'd probably have that first. But who knows? I mean, maybe it does come early this year. I don't know.
You might have to redo the Brett Beach show.
Yeah, I know.
Because Tyreek Hill's not here.
Not yet, he's not, no. Somebody asked on X the other day, what number will Tyreek Hill wear now that Emma Johnson is wearing 10? For the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, Emmett gets to keep that one.
Absolutely. Unless Kyrie's going to pay him money, but I'm sure Tyreek doesn't have the money to pay him.
No.
That's why he needs a job.
Tyreek just be lucky to get a jersey.
Yeah, exactly. At this point, yeah.
All right, Mac. Notebook is got to be open. You guys and
always.
Myself can talk about this, but number one on Mac's notes,
I mimic a lot of these.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, you do? Okay. Wow. Look at that.
Look at you guys.
Mimicking a lot of stuff. Whoa, plastic surgery.
Frenemies.
first thing, the first offensive line looked pretty good, I thought, over the weekend, right? You guys think the first offensive line looked for the five plays or whatever it was that they were in there. Josh Simmons did exactly what we needed him to do. I thought Jalen Moore did fine on the outside, moving down. What's his name?
Benson.
The Benson, the rookie kid on the
end.
Inside. And so I think right now the first offensive line looked pretty good for the first five. Again, small ass sample size, guys, but I think we saw what we needed to see out of that first offensive line. And by seeing what we needed to see, Josh Simmons doing what he needed to do.
Yeah. Two things on that. One, weird that Benson didn't play right tackle at all. I knew they were going to start him at right guard, obviously, but I thought with the second guys, we would get some looks at him at right tackle. I thought that was very odd.
Have kind of tells it? You maybe where they're leaning, right?
With I guess
if Trey's out, you know,
yeah. If Trey's out, yeah. Obviously, he's going to be that guard. Have you guys seen any of this stuff from Mitchell Schwartz about Josh Simmons and the snatch technique? He's been talking about it for the last few weeks in training camp. And then
those
again,
Schwartz brothers were talking about the offensive line this weekend.
Yeah,
tell me about the snatch technique.
I mean, I'm not going to act like I'm an All-Pro, former All-Pro.
I'm not asking.
Winner,
no,
like
just
Mitchell
dumb
Schwartz.
It down.
Dumb
yeah.
it down.
For the people listening who aren't watching Mitchell on Twitter,
basically,
you know?
Instead of what you see with an offensive lineman do, sticking their hands out, it's kind of this thing where you snatch them down, you kind of throw them down to the ground. You kind of get back. He gets his momentum forward. The defender, that is, gets his momentum forward. And then you kind of, without holding him, boom, snatch him down to the ground. And I know Mitchell Schwartz could be listening to this going, geez, that is not it. But for the naked eye like us, that's what it looks like.
Right. Is there something wrong with that,
so
though?
So the downside of it is that you are backing up into the quarterback's pocket. And you saw a throw from Justin Fields where he throws and his plant leg, you know, Mahomes' leg that he tore would be his left leg, his plant leg.
Right.
Gets bumped by Josh Simmons' ass a little bit from the snatch technique, backing up into him. And that is what Mitchell Schwartz is very, very worried about with this technique. And we saw it in action in the preseason game. So it is starting to make me think, like, okay, we got to be careful on
if
that.
If I can piggyback that, is that also on the vision of the quarterback?
At some level, yeah, but if you're in my pocket within a couple seconds, like there's only so much I can do, which is what Schwartz is saying is the downside of this technique. You're going to back up very, very quickly, and you're, you know, there's not much the quarterback can do.
But if you're snatching a guy to the ground, I guess that's what we're calling it, then that guy's on the ground, fall on top of him. You've eliminated him from that play. I mean, I'm just trying to think through this. I've never heard of this technique before, really, and I'm sure most of the people listening have never really.
Start watching the All-22
Festival. All right, yeah, Dusty, when you do it, I'll do it. You call me. You text me the next time you watch the All-22.
No, you'll be waiting for that phone call until I'm dead, buddy.
Because you ain't getting a return on that one either.
Ew.
But, I mean, this is stuff that, like, the football people know about, like the snatch technique and all that.
Yeah.
So is that going to be the buzzword this year in the NFL? Because, you know, every year in the NFL we get these buzzwords. Words, right? Like, oh, we're going to talk about whatever this year, the early starting of the offensive line, and that becomes
high
the trend.
Pointing.
High pointing the ball. Yes. That's another great one. That's another great one. We come up with these weird terms every year. So the is it called the snatch block? Is that what it's called?
How many people now are experts?
Like me in college.
How many people are experts now on the cover two shell?
Right. Oh, yeah, that's exactly
right.
Yeah, the shell game. I used to play that on the streets of New York, rip people off. It was great.
Yeah, it's the snatch and trap technique. Instead of absorbing a bull rush or a long arm move, the lineman violently grabs the defender's wrist, arm, or shoulder pad and pulls them downward. Uses the defender forward momentum.
Yeah.
Let's go. Point for me. To send them crashing to the turf.
So why wouldn't all offensive linemen do that? I mean, I don't
because
know.
Because of the downside.
Yeah, downside.
You're backing up into that quarterback's pocket, and he mentioned backing up into the quarterback's knees.
And probably. Nothing is effective to 100%, though.
Of course
so,
not.
You know?
No, so it's just a quick note. You can keep going.
No,
okay. I didn't want to get too sidetracked.
That's fine.
Sorry.
R. Mason Thomas is as advertised, I think. This is why I was excited about him. We haven't had somebody screaming off the edge like that. Frank Clark. Justin Houston, Tom Bahali, and Derek Thomas. Those are the four players that and maybe Jared Allen's in that group as well, but I still don't think Jared was as fast as what I mean, my God, R. Mason Thomas, where have you been for the last couple of years? Because that's just what the doctor ordered, is a guy like that with speed on the edge that can just boom, to the quarterback. Mm. I mean, it was insane watching him. And maybe because we haven't had that in a while, I was so excited about it. Or maybe it's because he was really good and really fast. Either way, I thought R. Mason Thomas, he really showed up, man. He showed up big for this team.
Republican Mason Thomas.
Yes.
As we got told on the text line from Speak to Text. So he approved that message.
That is good still.
Are you tired of not getting to the quarterback? I'm Republican Mason Thomas, and I'm going to put an end to that. And I approve this message. Are you tired of staying on the field for 3rd and 16 and can't get the offense off? Republican Mason Thomas is here to fix your needs. Vote for me.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So I thought he was good. I also thought Cyrus Allen really showed. I mean, all the hype that we've heard about Cyrus Allen, and then he went out there in the game and showed it. One of his big plays was called back on a penalty. But even still, I mean, look, Cyrus Allen looked the part. I didn't need to see much more out of Cyrus Allen to say, he looked the part as a very good wide receiver. Obviously, Emmett Johnson and Breshad Smith, man, those two guys were great on Saturday afternoon. I thought Emmett Johnson especially, busting through at least 10 tackles was the stat that he had. 10 tackles that he broke, you know? I mean, that's incredible. For us in Kansas City, anyway, that's an incredible number, right?
To kind of piggyback on this note, what got me kind of bricked up was seeing that screenplay to Breshad Smith, and I was like, Andy,
look
what you've got again. Now that you have a running back that can run this sort of offense,
right.
Now you can run that screen pass.
Had him last year.
And then I thought it was cool seeing Emmett Johnson's family the whole game.
Yeah.
Like they had him up there, and then they called a touchdown back, and his brother or whoever that was in the crowd was like, come on. It's preseason.
Yeah, I do hate when they say the first NFL touchdown. It's the preseason. That doesn't count.
That's not
It's still cool for those guys.
Very cool.
Don't get me wrong. Still really cool. But your first one is when the lights are on, right?
Totally.
In the regular season. Couple of things to pick at a little bit. The special teams, another big return. Like, I wouldn't care. It's the preseason, but this is now 3 years of not having great special teams coverage, you know, out there. That needs to be stepped up a little bit. Peter Woods, I know he's got the ankle thing going on right now. Didn't really see what I wanted to out of him. I wonder how serious that ankle injury is and how much that held him back. And then the backup offensive line, I don't need to see them anymore. BBL stinky.
Yeah, that's rough.
8 penalties. Isn't this why Eric Bieniemy's here?
Yeah.
Right, like this is the number one reason why Eric Bieniemy's here. There better not be another penalty.
Yeah, because they really moved the ball in that first drive. They had the screen pass, they had the run, they had the, and then they had the was it the screen pass that got called back?
Yes.
Yeah,
and then Cyrus Allen, yeah.
And then they had the Noah Gray had like the 15-yard catch that was just short of the first down, really moving the ball, but mm-hmm. the frustration of the penalties. Obviously, it's the first game.
And Andy says we'll get it cleaned up, Dusty.
For sure.
He said that 17 times last year.
Mm-hmm. We're working on it. Yeah. So I think that could, you know, be there as well. And I thought Jaden Hicks played well in his opportunity. Yep. And again, like, we're not being hyperbolic. We're going off one game of seeing this team for the first time in a year. And yes, the Rams are playing backups, so are the Chiefs. But like, it's all about like knowing where you're at on the field. It's those little like dress rehearsal moments where it's like, hey, if this was a real situation, you would need to be here. So if the hit that Jaden Hicks made that I'm referencing to, where he stuck the guy right in the hip and stopped him short of the first down on third and like 7 or 8, like that might have been Puka Nacua in a real game in mm-hmm. week 13 or whenever you play the Rams. And that would have to be a play that you'd have to make. And he made that play and looked like he was actually playing to get an actual spot on this roster to play more than he did last year and the year before, because we know he can lay the wood. We know Hicks can do that. Big stick Hicks, right? That's what he said to us. That's what the team called him when we were down there last year yep. in St. Joe Mac. And I think that's what you want to see. You want to get off the field on third down, whether you're letting Harrison Mevis, my God, is he getting thicker. And, you know, you want to force people to three. Now, I don't know if McVay in the regular season goes for
did
that.
Did he get fatter over the like, – I swear to God that was like he's the guy who used to kick for the Raiders, Janikowski.
Yeah, no, that's massive. That's the dude from Mizzou, man, M-I-Z.
Yeah, the thicker kicker. Yeah, that's him. Yeah.
He is thick. And then, you know, we've yet to see Mansoor Delane. Mm-hmm. So he'll get involved and sprinkle his talent in there as well. I assume he probably plays Saturday at 6:30 against the Bucs. So that'll be interesting to see as well. So
I thought also too with Jaden Hicks, man, I was going through the Chiefs post game notes that they send out, and they had a note about Jaden Hicks, which tells me they're trying to let everybody know, hey, Jaden Hicks is a pretty good player, right? Because it's something we've talked about all offseason long about this secondary. If you're judging based on one game, that secondary looked pretty damn good. Now, again, it's preseason. It's, you know, going against twos and threes and all of that. But Jaden Hicks had himself a game, 7 tackles, 5 solos, 1 for a loss, and 1 pass defended. Like, if you do that in the regular season in a game, you're the MVP of that game. That's the type of defensive performance that Jaden Hicks had. I mean, he stacked the ballot box or the stat sheet, however you want to say it, and went out there and was wrecking people, making tackles around the line of scrimmage, making plays in the secondary. Like, it's like, okay, man, this guy really came to play today. So kudos to Jaden Hicks and the rest of the secondary, which I thought stepped up pretty good. Again, it's
Noah
second
Williams
and third
looked
teams.
Great.
Yeah.
So special teams is where our number one issue is.
Number one issue? Yeah, I mean, so far, special teams,
yeah.
I would say so. Yeah, I think so. Garrett Nussmeier looked awesome.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's that quarterback that's going to be your backup now for the next 4 years, and you're not going to have to spend money on a backup quarterback. And the Chiefs trade Garrett Nussmeier for a third-round draft pick.
I wouldn't hate that at all.
No, not at all. But I thought he was really good. He was really
great.
Good. You saw exactly why they drafted that kid, right? It really is reminiscent of the Kevin Cobb pick of years ago. We're like, what are we doing in Philadelphia drafting? And they flipped him. But I think Garrett Nussmeier is a guy that they want because they're projecting out salary cap for the future, too. And Justin Fields is costing you, what, $8 million or whatever the guy in the jean shorts cost you last year. And you're getting 4 years of Garrett Nussmeier for $8 million. And so it is a shrewd financial move by the Chiefs. And if it pans out and he's a good backup quarterback for you, man, you got all kinds of money now that you can spend elsewhere for this team.
And you talk about the Eric Bieniemy effect. This was Bashard Smith on EB and the penalties.
Yeah, it's going to be hell. I know for sure, but we gotta clean those up, and we'll be good for sure. Our offense will be real clean.
Gonna be hell. Good luck up in St. Joe today, yeah. Boys.
Look at the humidity on the windows, too. Like, go for it.
But it is Monday, 6:30, so we get into our overreaction Mondays. Number one on the list in our rundown, it says Mac. So go ahead, MAC.
Yeah, I said it earlier in the show, but Emmett Johnson would be the best running back we've had since Kareem Hunt. That's what I saw. I saw a guy who could catch passes, who could force missed tackles, who is quick, who had vision. I mean, you mentioned that touchdown that got called back. Every running back that we've had these past 3 years would have ran into that guard. Would have ran into that guard's ass, and it would have been a gain of one, loss of one. That's mm-hmm. what it would have been. Emmett Johnson already has vision that we haven't had in this backfield in quite some time. And I don't want to, poo-poo on Isaiah Pacheco. He was a massive part of winning that 22-23 Super Bowl when he was healthy. But even then, I don't think he had the burst, the explosion, the vision that we're seeing from number 10 out of Nebraska. Emmett Johnson, man, he is the real deal.
Yeah, I enjoyed watching him play.
That's Devin Neal.
Yeah, and Devin Neal is the real deal. No, Greg Hill is the real deal. Ask Marty. But I think when we're looking back at this draft, you know, and we recapped it the next day or the Monday after, Emmett Johnson was one of the players that I was really excited about them getting in that draft. And I've kind of been on him since the day that he was picked. And so to see him go out there and perform like that, that was awesome, man. I hope it does translate into the regular season, because if we got a guy like that in the fifth round, changes the dynamic of the offense, you know?
Yeah, I'll go from one Johnson to another Johnson. Ben Johnson is probably not being dramatic. If you miss the quote, he said he wants to have the best offense that the NFL has ever seen, going back to that 2014 Broncos offense when Peyton Manning and company put up numbers. This comes from Ari Mirov. Head coach Ben Johnson said receivers coach Antoine Randall L. Remember him? Oh, yeah, we all do. Call the plays in the second half versus the Browns today when Chicago scored 24 points and put up 235 yards of offense. Quote, I think he's got a chance to be an OC in this league. I think he's got a chance to be a head coach in this league. That all comes from Ben Johnson, who wants to put up points. The Chicago Bears are going to put up points this year, and they probably will have the number one offense in the NFL. Mm. They have a lot of weapons, from Colston Loveland to Kmet to Burden to Odunze to their running backs to their quarterback, who can be that guy. Who I think now, if you're putting a future bet on it, Caleb Williams should be somebody that you consider maybe an MVP this year. I don't know what Mahomes, Allen, and Jackson still do. I don't know if Joe Burrow is going to be healthy all year. But the way this offense can move, and again, I know it's against the Cleveland Browns, I know it's preseason, but 24 points and 235 yards with a scrubs playing, and you're able to execute that offense. They have weapons on this offense. We know the NFC North is explosive. Detroit, Green Bay, Minnesota, Chicago. Chicago's kind of arrived last year. I think Caleb Williams also kind of proved a lot of people wrong last year, and now he has a little bit bigger of a target on his back. He's got to be better. Year one, there were some unnecessary sacks. There were some overthrows. Year two, obviously, we saw the hero throw against the Packers in that divisional game in the back of the end zone. Great play there. I think this offense can compete with what the Denver Broncos put up. They're going to run a two tight end set. So when you listen to Mac Morey's Fantasy Football Show on Sundays coming up in about 3 weeks, don't hesitate.
This week.
Don't hesitate on maybe taking some Chicago Bears and loading up your team with Chicago Bears. Luther Burden, I think, is going to be fine with a hamstring. He's going to be the number one option in that offense. And Colston Loveland's going to be number two. That still leaves Odunze and Cole Kmet in that offense. And Caleb Williams to be your quarterback as well.
Who's their backup quarterback?
Hi. Don't know.
I don't know.
But I know that the Chicago...
Oh, yeah, I do. It's Secret Agent Man. It's Tyson Bagent.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, Secret Agent Man. Yeah, so Chicago Bears offense, I think, will be good. It could be possibly the best, might be the best offense in the NFL.
My overreaction is that R. Mason Thomas will be the next legacy chief.
Who's?
Ours. R. Mason Thomas will be the next legacy chief. Okay. He is the guy that this new version, this new era, this new part two, if you will, this rebirth of Patrick Mahomes and his second act or third act, however we're talking about it right now, R. Mason Thomas will be that guy on the defense like Chris Jones is now, like Tamba Hali was, like Justin Houston was, like Derek Thomas was. R. Mason Thomas will be the next legacy chief and the guy that we talk about as the defensive star, powerful guy, leader of this team now in this new era. That's how strongly I feel about that guy on the defense. He's going to be outstanding.
Yep, completely agree. He looked amazing. It wasn't just against the pass. He was able to stop the run, too, which was something that I was worried about. Okay, is this going to be a third down kind of special gadget guy? It didn't look like that. We've not seen bursts like that off the edge in years.
No, exactly. And that is something that you can judge from preseason speed. You know, nobody's slowing down out there. You're going full 100 miles an hour, however you want to say it. And R. Mason Thomas, man, he just jumped out of it.
This comes from the text line. My wife has been snatch blocking me for 20 years.
I hear you.
You can't make up algorithms because Polymarket Football preseason rookie comparisons. Casey Concepcion equals Antonio Brown. Carnell Tate equals T. Higgins. Jordan Tyson equals Brandon Ayuk. Mekhi Lemon equals Chris Godwin. Jeremiah Love is Alvin Kamara. Fernando Mendoza is Jared Goff. Ty Simpson is Matt Ryan. Kenyon Sadiq is Jake Ferguson. Sonny Styles is Devin White. And Spencer Fano is Trent Williams. So there's...
Yep, I love it. Everybody loves it.
Week one of preseason's in the book.
Ty Simpson did look pretty solid.
Oh, yeah, I think he's going to win that job.
Well, that's if Matty Staff can stay healthy. Yeah, never know. Coming up on the other side, dark horses. I think this website doesn't know the definition.
I thought so, too.
We'll get into it next. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. It's Saquon Thornton, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.